everyone. Welcome to the show. I really love this new earlier time slot, and I want to welcome you listeners. I think some of you might be Robert Camp listeners because he moved to an earlier time slot, and some of you might be Wynn Freeze. I am a fan of Robert, and I do have my cards done every year, and I check them every day. Wynn Show is about energy, and so is this in a slightly different format. So I think all of us are in a familiar place, whether you're new listeners or have been following Robert or Wynn for some time. My name is Brenda, and I'm a professional coach, and this is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. I really want to help you create a life that works. My passion is helping people transform their lives into one that they really love. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I wanted to do a coaching program for a couple of years and actually registered the domain name Meeting Brenda in 2003. I thought at the time I was going to be doing what I would call kind of a quirky television program where I'd interview random people on the street because I really liked meeting new people, and I think you can tell I love to talk. So now it's 2010, and I'm on the air on the radio. Some things just take time, and then they don't even look the way you thought they would. I think that's the fun part of being open to new things and being really flexible, because being inflexible really holds you back. And believe me, in my life, and I think a lot of other people, the universe really has way better ideas than we do. My work is coaching, and I'm a core energy coach, so I can tell where you are energetically and what needs to happen for you to shift it into a better place. There are many different levels of energy that you're in every day, every week, you know, every year, and certainly throughout your lifetime. And where your energy is really determines how people perceive you and certainly affects how your life flows. There are, as I mentioned, there are several different levels of energy, and the one that most people are in, one of two, which the first one is victim energy, and those are the people that we know that have the little black cloud hanging over their head. They seem somewhat hopeless. They suffer from low self-esteem, that kind of person. I mean, these are the people where, you know, the world seems to be totally against them, and they're always in some kind of a bind. But the interesting thing about these people is that by staying in that energetic level, we help them. I mean, I'm as guilty of this as anyone. We feel sorry for them, so we help them instead of, you know, trying to shift their energy to a higher level. The other place a lot of people are is in the level that I'll call the angry person. And I always use the example of the crabby person that's waiting in line behind you or in front of you that thinks that, you know, Walmart's cashier has an inform or something. They cut you off when you're driving. They're just angry about everything in general, and they're certainly not any fun to be around. And then we do all know a few people who function at a higher level of energy. They're those really loving, forgiving, compassionate people. They have a lot of concern for others, and they definitely take responsibility for their actions. This is in contrast to the people who are victims or angry, who think that, you know, the universe is out to get them and that everyone has it in for them and somehow has, you know, some kind of a secret way to making their, you know, things work out for them, when actually, in reality, if they changed the way they think about things, they wouldn't be in that situation. But the good news is that we can all get to that better feeling place with coaching, and that's my specialty. I do want to give you some feedback from callers that called within the last couple of weeks. One woman called, and we were talking about life as an adventure, and she mentioned that she was doing internet dating and how, you know, adventuresome that was. And I did question her about her beliefs, whether or not she really thought internet dating would be useful for her, and whether or not she really thought that there was someone out there for her. And she answered yes to both of those things. She really did think that she could meet someone special. And as relayed last week, she got reconnected with a man she dated before, which is amazing, on an internet dating website. And as of this week, they are still dating and things are moving along the second time around and in a much better fashion than they were 14 or 15 years ago when she originally met him. I also had a call from a woman who was having a little bit of concern about how to deal with her life's work because she had information from two different sources that she trusted about two different directions her life's work could take. So we brainstormed and, you know, really thought about thinking big and how to integrate the two of them. And, you know, last week she emailed me and said that she had come up with an idea. And now I know for a fact that she's going to schedule her first group meeting in January. So those are both really good success stories. The person who called in last week, who was, as you could tell from her voice, really down in the dumps and discouraged about her job hunt, she had a limited education and work skills, saw other people around her getting jobs, and yet nothing was happening for her. So after we talked about it a little bit, I think I got her to really believe and admit that she believed that that could happen for her as well, because if we see others accomplishing something, there's really no reason on earth why we can't succeed as well. So I'm looking forward to getting an email from her about how that worked out. So that's the good news from the last couple of weeks, and I look forward to working with some of you tonight so we can have more success stories like this. Tonight, I have a guest coach whose specialty is helping you keep your life in balance, especially when most people are having a meltdown during the holidays. It's going to be a long 6 weeks coming up, and I think some people really stress out about this, and there's certainly concerns this year that are different than ones in years past. Her name is Ruth Rounds, and she's going to join us now. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Brenda.
How are you?
I'm great.
Well, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself before we start, and I have a lot of questions to ask you myself about keeping life in balance and making it through the next 6 weeks. So for the audience, I just want you to know that Ruth is based in the Midwest, and I've known her for a long time. We've done quite a few projects together, so we know each other. We know each other's skills really well, and I think Ruth is a terrific life coach, and especially she's really strong in the area of career as well. So now that I told you that, I'll let you give me some more information, Ruth.
Well, my work experiences in helping people with both life career issues and dealing with transitions related to that, as well as wellness counseling.
Uh-huh.
So in combining those related to your topic tonight on life balance and dealing with the stress of the holidays coming up, I think we'll be able to entertain people's calls and give them some support in keeping perspective, really, and realizing that if they can stay in the moment, lots of times they can deal with all the difficult people and challenges that sometimes come with the holidays.
Uh-huh. Because I think that, I think this is starting to be a really stressful time for a lot of people. And, I mean, I'm not stressing out about it because it's not a, big event to me. But if I had in-laws and children and, work and all that stuff to deal with, I think it would be really something that I might not look forward to.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, Brenda, about just life being in balance or wishing
mm-hmm.
life could be in balance, and we know that that's kind of a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's life is ever really in balance. That's a Newtonian kind of thinking pattern, that it's an either-or situation, and really we are dealing in a worldview that life is both and. And that fits so nicely with your core energy
mm-hmm.
concepts of trying to stay out of the victim and angry stages and
mm-hmm.
finding more fulfilling pieces of life. So to change your worldview and kind of flip that switch, as you've talked about in recent shows, really makes a difference for people.
Well, how I mean, from your experience, do you know people in your, you know, in your, as friends and that sort of thing that are really stressing out about the holidays?
I think it's just at the beginning of the time of worry or anticipation of the challenges that come with the holidays. So I haven't heard much yet, but uh-huh. I think as sometimes people go into the Thanksgiving holiday with a lot of positiveness and then mm-hmm. realizing that no matter how much they love the people that they're with, either there's a little history or challenges of behaviors that kind of get under your skin and make it more difficult to really enjoy.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Thanksgiving because this was in Ann Landers. I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe it was in the Sunday paper yesterday. It was recent. Anyway, this woman wrote in and she said, my brother's bringing his two, nieces or daughters or something. And last year they came and they were vegetarians. And so he told them that they had to change the entire meal to work around these two, I'm going to say 15-year-olds, right? So she's wondering mm-hmm. what she should do this year. And Ann Landers told her, number one, they are invited to Thanksgiving dinner. And number two, if they can't come or enjoy Thanksgiving dinner, then they should make other plans, which I thought was fabulous advice. Because it sounds like last year was awful. But they, you know,
it is a challenge to try to accommodate everybody and their needs. And I think the reality is you can't.
Uh-huh.
But you can get clever in terms of paying attention to
right.
to people and inviting them to be a part of the decision making on food,
uh-huh.
et cetera, by making a potluck or whatever. Even the vegetarians can find enough to eat if you make it easy. And
yeah, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much everything's like a vegetable except the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we always have one or two vegetarians at our plate or at
uh-huh.
our table, and it works
yeah.
just fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to eat, but, you know, it surprised me that a grown-up, and I'm sure she was trying to be kind to her brother, would just totally change everything just for the teenagers, and she obviously resented it for the entire last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's thinking,
well, we're
you
such
know,
creatures of habit that we, if it isn't a habit of ours alone, it's historical perspective on how you've always done it in your family.
Right.
And I know when we were preparing for this conversation tonight, I mentioned the ham story.
Oh, yeah.
The turkey story. But
yeah.
I have always used that in the last maybe 10-plus years of my life to keep some perspective on the habits that I have, as well as appreciating and understanding that when you're in someone's home, that they have their ways, so to speak. And the
right.
ham story goes like this. There is a new son-in-law in the family, and he asks his wife, why do you always cut, a husband and wife first, and he asks his new wife why she always cuts off the end of the ham before she puts it in the pan, and she says that her mother always did it that way. So when the mother-in-law shows up, he asks her, and she says that grandma always did it that way, and when grandma shows up for the meal, of course, grandma says that, well, I had to cut off the end of the ham because it was too big to fit in the pan.
Oh,
so
I think that's great.
You know, the whole purpose got lost. And the habit
lost
continued.
In translation.
Yep. So
people are probably still doing that.
In the beginning, that perspective
yeah.
is everything on some of the holidays.
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm not sure if you heard it, but I was telling last week about a story where I went to a boyfriend's house with him, and his family was there, including his grandma was there from Toronto and whatnot. And I swear all they did was argue and yell, and it was just the most uncomfortable, awkward place for me to be. And if I could have, you know, melted or run away, I would have in a heartbeat. And you know what he said? He said, what are the holidays without the tears? And I thought, oh, my God, I have to get away from this guy right now. This is scary. I don't want to. This is awful. And they were just so used to it, just like cutting off the ham, that it was normal for them. They had no idea how awful it was until someone from the, you know, and I was the only guest there that wasn't a relative. So, you know, that was how they operated, and it was just miserable for me.
Yeah, and a lot more stressful for you. Because
because you
weren't used to it.
Yeah, they're just used to all this, you know, anger. It was like, oh, my God, the anger level 2 energy was just over the top. And, well, it was both of them. I mean, you know, somebody was a victim because somebody was crying, and then somebody was bullying them and, you know, whatever. It was not fun to be there. So do you think this year in particular might be a little more difficult for some people, given the state of the economy and whatnot, or how do you think that's going to work out? I don't know if it's that much different than last year, but I'm not sure.
I'm sure for many families it has been difficult the last year plus, and I don't think you ever get used to having less to work with if you've
mm-hmm.
lost your job or just have less money in the bank because of stocks going down and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that, again, to keep perspective, but also to be more mindful, as I was mentioning
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, there is no stress in the present moment. So
mm-hmm.
if you can get to the moment and enjoy the experience with each other and remember what's most important to you in your relationships with those that you love,
mm-hmm.
I think that can make a big difference, because some of the extras that maybe you can't have in a downturn
mm-hmm.
are maybe not as important as the community and the meaningful relationships.
Right.
And so sometimes it actually changes some of your habits to
in a good way.
Let go of some things that aren't as important or become less materialistic with the celebrating.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a nice shift. Ruth, we're going to take a short break right now, and when we come back, actually right now I'm going to read some of the numbers that you can call in and visit with us about this, you know, keeping your life in balance and getting through the holidays. The first number is area code 530-413-4520, and another one is area code 415-287-0074. And for those of you who are listening to this online, there is a link on the website for something called BBS Fast Chat, and you can actually email us a quick live message if you're too shy to call in. So we look forward to hearing you in whatever fashion you contact us. Thank you. We'll take a short break. Be back in a couple of minutes. Hi, everyone. This is Brenda at Meeting Brenda, a speed coaching radio program. And this week as my guest, I have Ruth Round. She's based in the Midwest. Her specialty is career transition, that sort of thing. But she also does a lot with wellness and keeping your life in balance. So I asked her here tonight to talk to us about how to get through the next 6 weeks and stay calm and not have a meltdown and not get into a fight with somebody. And you know what, Ruth, I think is interesting? I think a lot of people are probably more on edge when they're out in public at this time of year versus, well, I'm not sure, but, you know, rather than at home, because they're out shopping and whatnot and trying to get all this stuff done, and there's not enough, you know, there really isn't enough time for some people.
Yeah, the busyness
right.
of life just can
right.
stress everyone out and take away all the enjoyment, take you out of the present moment, as I was talking about before.
Uh-huh.
And once you get into that frenzy, then, you know, life isn't that much fun.
No, you get caught up in it because, and we mentioned this briefly a minute ago, is that let's say that I'm invited to, you know, a bunch of things where we have to exchange gifts and I have to bring food and all those things. And you know what? I don't really even know if I can afford that. And can I say no? What's a good way of even dealing with something like that? Because people feel like they're, you know, there's a certain expectation, and I'm sure some people are embarrassed to say, I can't afford it, I can't do it, you know. What's a good way to get around that?
Boy, as you were describing that general situation, I was
mm-hmm.
thinking of keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, giving your self a chance to say no to some things and yes to others.
Uh-huh.
And maybe having a favorite simple dish that doesn't demand a lot of time and may not be that costly, like a simple salad or something that you could bring versus something more exotic.
Or, yeah, elaborate or something.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, we have Christine from Canada on the phone. Let's welcome mm-hmm. Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
And are you thinking about the holidays?
Yes, I'm thinking about the holiday, but I'm not really worried about holiday, though.
Is there something special you want to talk about tonight?
I'm just wanting to talk about the energy level.
Uh-huh. Did you understand
like
my description
balance,
of,
you know?
I'm sorry, I missed what you just said. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how to balance, life balance.
Uh-huh.
You know, to be energetic way.
Uh-huh.
Like for example, working long hours and then how to make it still energetic.
Oh,
in the same way.
Yeah, I have some left over for the other part of your life. Right?
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Energy
yeah.
level, like. Mm.
Ruth, do you want to take this?
Well, Brenda, let's give her some ideas together because I think she's interested in the core energy piece of your work. But the piece about energy beyond the work day, a lot of that has to do with how much sleep do you get? I mean, the lack of sleep is one of the most challenging things, and I guess I would invite Christine to look at that first.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, so normally, if it wasn't a good night's sleep, then yeah, it would be very easy to get tired.
Yeah. Do you have a few kids or?
No, I don't.
Okay. So maybe then. I mean, sometimes when you have children, you don't have as much control over your free time. But if you can take the time that you need to get a good night's sleep, then you will probably have more energy for your non-work time. But the other piece that I know myself and many of my clients do is take some time to be quiet, take a pause after work, and just relax,
okay.
Slow down, and get into the present moment. Through music, through sitting quietly, doing a formal meditation, something like that can be really helpful in recharging your battery. Depending on how you are and how demanding your job is in terms of being out there with people, if it demands more risk, then you need to balance your day with some more alone time. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
because I think, you know, depending on how you're, Christine, do you think your work is draining? I mean, are you, like, just drained when you come home from
work?
Yeah,
I think maybe, yes. Yeah, I think maybe sometimes people probably, you know, dealing with people kind of draining
it's,
as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like you're doing a job where you're physically exhausted. It's just that the people are just, like, draining your energy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And,
Brenda, can you talk a little bit about core energy in the workplace?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's interesting, Christine, as I mentioned, the type of coaching I do, the average level of energy of, you know, someone in America is, like, just barely 2, which if level 1 energy is being that victim and, you know, apathy and that sort of thing, and then level 2 is the angry person, that most of the people probably that you spend time with at work are in, that's where they are, and so are your clients. So it's perfectly understandable that if you walk in the door and you're the bright, shiny star and, you know, happy and you've got your energy in a, like, a real positive state, that by the end of the day, those people at that lower energy level have really depleted yours.
Yeah. So would that energy transferable to between among people?
Well, you know what? If you've experienced this before, you know how when, let's just say that you're at work and I just described you coming in all fresh and, you know, high energy, and then one of those people comes in with that lower level energy, it just shifts it. I mean, you know, you're aware of it, that it's like, oh, boy, you know, stay away from this guy today because, you know, he's in a bad mood or something like that. But you can do the same thing. I mean, you can walk in and be very conscious of how you're showing up at work with your positive energy, and people are either going to shift theirs to join yours because you're way more fun to be with than the angry person, I think. So they're going to want to, you know, they're going to want to shift their energy to be more like yours. But if your whole office is not the way you are, then it makes it a lot more difficult. But that does not mean that you can't keep your own personal energy, you know, intact and say that, you know, these people are doing the best they can, and I'm not in that place, and I don't want to be in that place with them, and I'm going to keep my positive attitude and hold a higher vision for how I'm going to get through the day.
Yeah. So it's not a good idea to avoid them.
Well, no, it is a good idea. You definitely avoid them. If there's people at work that are like that and you don't have to interact with them, I would definitely stay away from them.
Oh, okay.
Most definitely. I mean, if it's your boss, it's another thing, but if you don't have to hang out with them, stay away from them. No need to do that. Because they're going to drain, you know.
And during the work day, too, is to take that pause when you can, whether it's during a break or before you answer the phone, just let it ring 2 or 3 extra times before you pick it up and get focused. And the reality is then you can retain a higher level of energy, but also be more present to who you're speaking to. And by being more present, then you have more kind of influence on the energy level of the conversation.
So what about fear? Like, nervousness? Would that be somebody calls you maybe nervousness, like maybe stress.
Well, you know, when Christine, when you're nervous and you're fearful, that means you're in that victim mode. You know, you're that's the lowest level of energy. That's when you're really feeling threatened and you're afraid and scared. And, you know, you have to figure out why you're feeling that way. You know, why you would feel that way around other people unless you really, you know, really are being threatened, literally. But I know we all do that throughout the day. At work, if you feel like you've made a mistake or someone is questioning you in, you know, some fashion that is really aggressive, it's not hard at all to start feeling like that. So, you know, it sounds like is this your work group you're describing a little bit, or is it your customer?
Probably, I don't know, probably like maybe it's not a big deal. Probably like, I don't know, like myself.
Uh-huh.
Probably do I need to, like, I don't know, to calm down myself? Probably and it was nothing, but just that kind of energy can I look at, I felt like as a
nervous.
Make me feel like nervous. Yeah.
Right.
Probably it
you
was
know,
nothing, but
yeah,
you know.
And there's a book that's called The Four Agreements. Have you ever heard of that book?
Yes. Yeah, actually I have it.
Okay, so the one agreement is it's not about you.
Mm.
It's not about, you know, the way someone else acts, it's not about you. And I know that's really hard to accept sometimes because you really think it is about you, but it's not about you. So if you are in a work situation where there's people who are angry and hostile and, you know, I could go on and on, it's not about you. That's their thing.
Yeah,
it's
probably
not
it's,
you.
Yeah, just themselves, they have their own kind of problem.
Right, right.
Probably transfer to other people.
Yeah. So, I mean, the minute something like that starts, I'm a big fan of snapping a rubber band on my wrist. I actually have a hair one on my wrist, you know, one for my ponytail on my wrist right now. So that's a really good way of whenever you're starting to feel like that, whatever can snap you back and say, you know what, this isn't about me. I don't know why he came to work this way today, but it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if they knew that you had that, you know, your heart was racing and you were nervous and scared and stuff, I mean, nobody wants to make someone else feel like that on purpose. So, you know, they're clueless about how they're affecting you, but it's not about you. So the fact that you know that already...
But probably some people, I don't know, like, maybe just sensitive about, you know, all the energies around.
And absolutely, I know that I am. And so when you said, should you stay around from, you know, certain people, and I'm absolutely unless you absolutely really, really have to work with them or engage in a conversation, stay away from them. Because it's like, if you're that sensitive energetically to other people's, you know, emotional situation, then really there's no reason for you to have to spend time with them. Unless you have
to. And so two of the bigger questions, I think, underneath this is that are you in a workplace that you want to stay?
Oh, that's a
good question. And is the specific job a good fit for you? So if you were to say yes to those two questions, then for sure continue to mold your relationships there best you can with the influence and control that you have to improve the situation. But if it's such a difficult workplace or the job isn't that good a fit, then this may be a call for you to move on and find something better for yourself.
Yeah, great.
Does that help, Christine?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
thank
you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling in. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh, that's a good example of maybe being in a workplace that energetically isn't a good match for you, and that by finding one that is, you're just, you know, really have the opportunity to grow and blossom and that sort of thing, rather than forcing yourself to stay someplace that really doesn't feel good. And we've all been in those situations.
Yeah, Brenda, you have some wonderful stories about
hostile work
environments. You want to share any of them?
Oh, I worked for a company that I called the Cult, and it was privately held, so of course their rules are their rules, and I don't think that anybody else can overrule what they decide to do. Anyway, they had very specific rules for women versus men. It had a very strong religious slant, and it was the most uncomfortable, awkward, weird place I've ever worked. And unfortunately, after I had worked there, I'm going to say 2 months, I started sending out my resumes looking for a new job. And by the time I got an interview, I'd probably been there, I'm going to say, 4 months. And I felt like I was in some kind of like an abusive relationship, because I would interview places and I think I was totally, I seemed like totally beaten down. And I don't think I had any, my energy level was probably about a zero, because every day going to work was some kind of, I'm not going to say it was a battle, but it was just so awful. So that was a good example. And I think I mentioned this last week to that caller, that when you get to that place, when you do interview, it does not go well, because your mind is just not in a good place. And
so, Brenda, how did you get out of there?
He paid me to leave. He paid me to leave. He said, this isn't working.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay then. You know, I was waiting for the offer. I was waiting for the buyout. And so I actually got, like, what do you call it? When they pay, they send you somewhere
severance?
To do your outplacement counseling.
Yeah, okay. You
know,
got a severance package of some
sort?
Yeah.
They paid a bunch of money for me to go bye-bye. But
mm-hmm.
It was just so awful. And one of my friends actually lasted 6 months. She was really smart, because she negotiated a salary up front where if she completed this certain project by a certain time, she'd get this big bonus. And, of course, she
mm-hmm.
did it, and she was gone.
Okay.
And then there was me,
mm-hmm.
who I sat in a very big office. At the end of the hallway, I reported to the president, and I hardly ever came out. It was really grim, really, really grim.
Mm.
So,
and you, yours is an example too of it doesn't take much time to identify difficult work situations. Usually, ugly head pretty early on.
Oh yeah, this is
and
like the
then
very...
it is sometimes difficult though to leave. I know the worst work situation I was in, it took me 2 years, because I had made a commitment to a project and had that desire to complete it and do a good job. But it was very difficult. And I'm going to go back to perception, but also life as a both and versus an either or. The reality is, even these difficult situations have grown us to appreciate life more and laugh more now about those difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But Anna Miller Tiedemann, one of my mentors, has really taught me that life is a series of right and left turns, not
mm-hmm.
right and wrong turns.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you have a life view
mm-hmm.
that honors that difficult situations as learning experiences and wake-up calls for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that even if, going back to our holiday theme, even
mm-hmm.
if it's a difficult holiday, you can write it for the next go-around and make some changes and kind
right.
of accept that life is never perfect and that life is a process. And having that more gentle, kind of loving approach to yourself
mm-hmm.
Can make a real big difference, whether it's in work, holidays, or whatever else is happening
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Well, it's like you have to be able to say, you know what, this isn't working for me right now, and I really can't. I've tried, but I can't change it. So something needs to change, and the easiest thing would be for me to leave. And they, oh, I forgot the most important part of that job I told you about. I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
I
think you got
sick. I suddenly got a headache talking to the president because he said something to me which I found very unnerving and disturbing. And I went home with a headache, which I never get a headache, and I didn't go back to work for, 2.5 months. I ended up with meningitis, and so I didn't go back to work. I didn't go back to work. I didn't have to go back to work, and for some mysterious reason, they paid me. You know, I probably had, like, what, 5 sick days, and somehow I got a paycheck, so.
And then did he buy you out then with a severance right away after you came back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. There was some time after that, but, you know, it wasn't working for either one of us. So anyway, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I'd love to have you call in and see if we can help you in any way. The numbers to call in are 530-413-4520, and you can call in on 415-287-0074. Thanks. We'll be right back. This is Brenda, and this is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. My guest tonight is Ruth Rounds, and her area of specialty is career transition, but she also has a lot of experience in the area of having your work and, you know, personal life in balance. And tonight we were kind of talking about how to get through the holidays without being super stressed out and having a meltdown. I do have got 2 emails from what I'm going to call my shy listeners. And the first one is a woman whose best friend complains all the time. She says, I'm starting to dread being around her. What can I do? And P.S., her self-esteem isn't that great. So she obviously has some concerns about having a conversation with her because she's afraid she's going to make her feel even worse. Well, if you're around someone that complains all the time and you dread being around her, you know, my first thought was don't spend much time around her anymore. Some people are really unaware of how much they complain. So my suggestion would be to, even though you probably let this go on a long time, don't be afraid now of just saying in a very loving way, Mary, you know, I'm not sure you're aware of it, but a lot of the time you're complaining about things instead of thinking of, you know, them in a positive light, and, you know, really stress that you're focusing on the positive aspects of things instead of complaining, because when you, whatever you focus on gets all your attention, and she may very well be unaware that that's what she's doing all the time, because I know that people, I've been in a situation where someone pointed out something to me that I was saying, which energetically was really negative, and I don't even know why I started saying that, but it was not a good situation, and I immediately responded to it because I knew it wasn't good for me. So I think the bottom line is that you need to have a conversation with her and point out that, you know, she is negative and it does affect you and you love her and want to keep her as a friend, and see what happens. See if something changes. And sometimes you could just, like, give her the look when she starts complaining and see if she does, like, a little rewind and puts a positive slant on it. You know, I'm sure that her self-esteem, if you said that it's low to begin with, would be affected initially. But I think the fact that you're going to stress that, you know, you love her and you want to maintain a friendship with her would be the best way to begin the conversation. What do you think about that, Ruth?
I think that's a good idea, and I just wanted to add something else that I learned from Pauline Boss, who is a professor at the University of Minnesota, is that lots of times complainers are stressed out about things, or they're worried, and so on. So a little formula that I learned from Pauline was that to be able to cope with stress, you need to understand what the stressor is and take a pause before you respond, but also, because this is a chronic kind of thing, help that person build resources to support them, because they're probably just churning and kind of stuck in their perception of the life situation or the difficulties that they're dealing with. So Pauline's formula goes stressor plus response plus resources equals being able to cope. So that may be another way for her to look at the situation and kind of break through it a little bit.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of, you know, the people that we know that are chronic complainers, are, it's that victim thing. You know, it's like everybody has this but me, and I'm the only one who got caught, and, you know, whatever. You know, it just gets really, really old, I think. But I think if she's, you know, like I said, genuinely approaches it from the friendship level and just points it out to her, that she'll either change or she won't. And I think that if she becomes more conscious of how she's being perceived by people, she might just be appalled, you know. She might say, oh.
Yeah, and it may help her take that pause before she speaks.
Yeah, it's like,
because
I remember,
she's more conscious, she'll become more conscious of her behavior.
Right.
And
I mean,
maybe
I have,
be able to adapt or change it a little bit.
When you tell people, watch people's reactions when you have a conversation with them or when you do this and that, right? I think some people would be really be surprised if they really, really paid attention to how people respond to what they're saying. Because some people don't even make eye contact with you. I mean, if you're always the bearer of bad news and always complaining, I think a lot of people would, you know, avert their eyes when you start your tirade, especially if you're doing it at work. It's like, let me out of here. I don't want to listen to this again.
Right. People stop listening,
and
you then don't get the support that you really are looking for by complaining.
Yeah. That's not the right way to get it.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, you know,
but it's hard. And people, if they're close friends, you can tell they need some TLC.
Uh-huh.
And
be gentle.
Reach out.
And as you were saying, support them in making some changes in their behaviors and their conversation, but they probably just need a few more resources in their life, too. They
right.
may be, again, not feeling very capable of making
uh-huh.
the change and flipping their switch, as we often talk about.
Yeah. Think about it. Well, last week I was reading a list of, this was a good tie-in, that, and I actually gave the wrong name, Erin Pavlina wrote this list of 10 ways to shift your energy immediately, and I read
mm-hmm.
five of them, and they were like singing, you know, moving your body, laughing, meditating, and then like, you know, saying a prayer, or taking deep breaths, that sort of thing. And I think people would be surprised at how much this benefits you when you're really in that, you know, very uncomfortable stage energetically. And if there's some way you could just, you know, get a chuckle in or whatever works for you, you know, that immediately shifts your energy. And certainly just forgiving someone and, you know, it's small things like that that really make you feel better quickly. I realize you can't do all these things at work, but, you know, you can think about things. And
yeah, and it is hard to erase the past, but if you can
uh-huh.
just, again, be in the present moment,
right.
there might be that opportunity to renew relationships and bring them into a new light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree completely. The other one, and I'm not sure we have time to address this completely, this is another email. My boss is a bully. I never know what will set him off. How can I deal with this? And then in parentheses, that they do like their job. It's the bully at work, and it, unfortunately, it's their boss. How does somebody deal with that?
When it's your boss, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Depending on, I mean, your comment right now, if you can try to change your relationship, lighten it up, or using humor,
mm-hmm.
playfulness, etc. But when you're dealing with a bully, they are a bully. They're in a lower moral development level. It's
mm-hmm.
it's almost a no-win situation unless there are resources within the organization that you can call upon and can help you make some changes. Most likely you're going to have to move out of that person's authority so that you can survive. Even if you like your job, you'll go down the pits unless, again, the organization is willing to deal with that person.
You know, we read so much nowadays about children, you know, like 8-year-olds and stuff being bullies, but if you're a 55-year-old bully, I don't know how that's going to change real fast.
No, that's the thing. It just could wear you down.
Uh-huh.
And pretty soon you won't enjoy anything at work.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's very difficult
like
on your self-esteem and, well, you really do need to get some help if you're
mm-hmm.
dealing with a bully.
Yeah, I mean, I always recommend, like, if you're in a job that you're not in love with and that sort of thing, you know, show up differently, you know, walk in with a different attitude and just, you know, look at it with fresh eyes kind of a thing. Oftentimes will get you, you know, through that hump. But having someone like that be your boss, I think, would be really, really difficult. I can't
mm-hmm.
imagine.
And Brenda, using core energy, where would mm-hmm. you find the bully?
The bully's angry. He's level 2 energy.
Okay.
He's really angry about everything, probably.
Mm-hmm.
He's beyond being the victim. You know, he's like, nobody's going to with me anymore, right?
Right.
I'm going to stick it to them before they can stick it to me. It's like, it's very much, you know, us against them. There's
right,
no
and probably they are bringing into this work environment old issues, either from home, school,
mm-hmm.
or past work experiences,
right. mm-hmm.
so that it's, again, your point to Christine, it's not about you.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, never about you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's angry. He's angry, he's going to stick it to everybody he can some way because they, you know, before they do it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that eye for an eye thing.
Right.
It's a really, that would be a really unpleasant person to have to work for. I've fortunately never had to work for somebody like that, but I don't think I'd last long, you know, because I don't, like you said, I don't know that you can win. You're up against somebody who's probably not going to change unless the word comes down from some higher up, like HR or something, that, you know, you're not, this isn't tolerated. But that could take a long time and be very wearing on you. So I guess my recommendation to this individual is, if they are able to contact someone in the organization that deals with stuff like this, and since they specifically said that they like their work, I don't know what that work is, but I'm thinking that maybe that work is transferable to another place in the business or in another business that would not, so they wouldn't place themselves in that situation.
Right. So. And if there aren't policies and procedures in place to deal with this person, most likely they would counsel you to take care of yourself, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
And it may be that you'll end up leaving the organization if necessary.
Yeah, protect yourself. Well, Ruth, this has been so much fun tonight, and I really appreciate you participating in the program. You have so many skills regarding, you know, life and work balance, and certainly with career transition. So Ruth's name is on the Meeting Brenda website under the Great Coaches tab. So feel free to contact her if you have the desire to connect on a continuing basis. And our time tonight is up, so please check the website for more information about the program and the contact information. And then, as I've said before, if you do feel the need for a special type of coach, like relationship, getting healthy, weight loss coach, or as Ruth is our good example of a career coach, please let me know, because I know great coaches who specialize in all these areas that can be a guest on the show. Thanks so
much. And Brenda, what's up for next week?
Well, next week I'm having a coach that works with clients who have chronic illness. So that'll be interesting. It'll be posted on the website and also on my BBS spot as well. So thanks for sharing your lives with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember, life is an adventure, and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night.